Let's stay here. Let's stay here for just a moment. Where's Joy? Where'd you go? Joy has a word to share with us that I believe is incredibly timely, given the day and given what's going on around us. Joy, would you come forward?
Well, while we were singing, What a Good, Good Father, God gave me a vision of a little boy and a little girl. And he said, I want to heal some little boys and little girls in this room, although they may be 50 or 60 or 70 years old. And I saw this little boy being smacked around and told, you know, you're never going to make it. You're not good enough. You're not worth my love. Man, you're not going to make it. How can I stay around here with you and even leaving? And I saw this little boy being very frightened because he was left alone, and he kept looking out, is he going to come back? And the Lord says to you, whoever this is, I love you just the way you are because I made you. And I made you the way that you are. And I gave you special gifts. And maybe nobody else appreciates you, even your mother or father. But I'm your father now. And I will never leave you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you until your dying breath here. And then you're with me. You're with me. So I just hear the Lord say, I want to heal you today. You hate Father's Day. You hate celebrating because you remember back. And he says, no, 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 no. You're celebrating me today. You're celebrating me. How much I love you.
You know, church, we all carry around labels that we have put upon ourselves or that others have put upon us. Sometimes for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. How many of us, if we're real with ourselves, we carry around this label? Maybe the label says ugly. Maybe the label says worthless. Maybe the label says stupid. You know, God's labels don't say any of that. God's label for you says beautiful. God's label for you says worth it. God's label for you says wonderful. God's label for you is chosen. I think Joy's word is so timely. I want us to do something right now, just for a few minutes. I want us to pray together. I want to enter into a time of ministry, and I want us to pray for healing from these labels that people have put on our lives forever. And so what I want us to do in just a moment is I want us to either where you are, or if you want to get up and move, that's fine. But I want us to spend some time praying. And praying this, that God would heal us of our own self-condemnation. That God would heal us of the chains that we have taken on because someone else put them on us. I want us to pray that God would heal us, both emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And so let's get together, let's pray. I want to encourage you, not everybody, especially children, but not everybody wants, you know, hands and stuff on them. And so ask first. I'm just asking you to do that. And then if they feel comfortable, let's put our hands on each other and let's pray. And so let's get some groups going, maybe over here in the area, wherever you are. I just want you to gather up with those around you and pray specifically that we would stop seeing ourselves the way that the world sees us, the way that Satan sees us, and we would see ourselves the way God sees us. Beautiful, wonderful, amazing. Can we do that? Let's pray. Let's pray right now. And would you pray? There is power in the name of Jesus. Do you agree with that, church? There is power in the name of Jesus. And he is known by many names throughout the scriptures. And one of my favorite is this, Emmanuel. God with us. You know, Jesus is known as God with us. And also, Jesus made it possible for us to be with God. Ken, come on forward. Ken has a word he'd like to share about God as our Father.
Right when Joy came up and shared, I had felt like I had this word right at the same time as we were singing a Good, Good Father. And when Jesus rose from the dead and Mary encountered Jesus at the tomb, and he said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." As we sing about the power of the name of Jesus, that's the power of the name of Jesus. That he made it possible for us to be children of God. In John 1, it says that we were given the right to become children of God, transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And so he didn't just say to my Father, he said to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. He is our Father because of the powerful work of Jesus.
All righty. Let's come on back and have a seat, please. And if you would, take your Bibles and let's open them to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. I'm always tickled whenever, those of you and friends go away on little vacation stuff and you call me and tell me how good of a time you're having. And Don Wright, you clean up real good. They love to go to Branson. I rate that right along with having a stob stuck in my eye. But I'm kidding. But we have a favorite eating place that we like to go to that Don put us on to. It's a barbecue place down there, Dana's Barbecue. And he called me last week. And this is what I heard the whole time he was talking. He said, hey, Pastor Doug. Hey, Pastor Doug. So I'm really glad you got that stuff cleaned off your face before you came here today, buddy. Most of it, anyhow. So, and the rest of you. Yeah, it's good to get away and stuff. The desire to know God's will by hearing God's word is declared legitimate by the Deuteronomist. The Lord God provided for this through the calling and sending of prophets. Prophets, those who heard from God, and those who spoke for God. Like Moses. That typically is, we attribute the writing, when I say Deuteronomist, we typically ascribe the authorship of Deuteronomy in the first five books to Moses. But doesn't matter. They're good, and it's inspired, it's living, it's active, it's able to bring change in our lives, right? Right. But like Moses, the mediator, as he's often called, you know, that guy should have been listened to, don't you think? Yeah. I mean, you know, should have been listened to. The Old Testament, I think, indeed, is the history of a great succession of prophetic voices. I want to talk about that this morning. And ending, of course, with all mediators, those who heard things from God and then spoke things for God. This is what they heard, and then they spoke that. The greatest mediator, of course, is the Lord Jesus, who we sang about, in whose name we worship today, who the kids are hearing about today. They have an amazing story they're learning about today. The Mary and Martha, you know, Jesus goes to his dear friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus's house, and the whole, you know, Mary and Martha deal. Jesus shows up. Martha's in the kitchen banging on the pots and pans. And Mary is where? Yeah, that's what the kids are learning about. How important it is to listen to Jesus, to hear his voice. And that's what prophets do. That's what you heard this morning from Mark Thompson. Mark was back here, and he felt like he had a prophetic word, and he just spoke it out. From Joy Long, and felt like she had a prophetic word, and she spoke it out. And then Ken Woodward felt like he heard something from God, and so he spoke for God. In this house, the way, and I think I can, I just want to say this parenthetically, it's really not the sneeze offering. I like that. We have, you know, wave offering, we have a praise offering, and we have a sneeze offering. I like it. I like it all. I really do. And we have a barbecue on the face offering. We have that. But in this house, you know, in different places, depending upon what you're familiar with, there are different ways of giving prophetic words, and sometimes of even hearing. I don't know that there's different ways of hearing prophetic words, but there's different ways of delivering prophetic words. Sometimes it's done in a way of very formal language. Thus saith the Lord. You know, often whenever you read the scripture in the Old Testament, especially the writings of the prophets, albeit minor prophets, not in significance, but just in length of the book of their prophecy, or the major prophets, the prophetic voices would usually begin with, after they had heard from God, they'd say, "Thus saith the Lord," and then they would go ahead and deliver that. Some places are rather formal like that. I don't know whether you've ever been to any of those. We're not so formal in this house. I guess that's not a real big surprise, but we're not so formal in this house to begin, "Thus saith the Lord," and then we use some arcane English, you know, King James kind of English. But people hear from God, and then they speak for God. We hear from God, we speak for God. That's what a prophet is. And in this house, the way we typically like to receive prophetic words is, those who feel like they've heard something from God will come to one of the pastors and they say, "You know, I think God is saying a thing." And I always want you to know there are other ways that happens here, but we, I think, probably prefer that best. And the reason for that is because whoever is in charge of leading a meeting, we have pretty much an idea of kind of what we want God to say and what we feel like God has said to us to be a prophet. Okay, to be a prophetic voice. Those who have heard from God and those who speak for God. You want that, okay? Now, I know the New Testament talks about in Ephesians 4 that Paul wrote to this church in Ephesus, and he said, you know, God puts in churches those who are apostles, those who are evangelists, those who are pastor teachers, and those who are prophets for the purpose of building up of the church, making the church strong. And we in our circles wouldn't so much label people as, well, this is Prophet Ken or Prophetess Joy or Prophet John or Prophet Mark, or we don't do labels like that. We're not really that impressive, okay? Any of us are really. But he's impressive.
Right. Yeah.
And what he has to say is impressive.
Yeah.
And so, in this house, I think that's the way we would, I know that's the way we would prefer. So if you feel like you get something, you come to us and say, hey, I just feel like God is saying this. And, typically we'll say, well, do you think it's a corporate word or do you think this is a word for yourself? And sometimes people come to us and say, well, I got this word and, I know, or one of us will know what's going on in that person's life usually. And, I can pretty well figure out, well, you know what? That's pretty much a personal word. I know what's going on here. But sometimes those personal words become corporate words. It's good for all of us to know, okay? It's good for all, right? It's good for all of us to know that. And if that really kind of fits the narrative, now work with me in this. This is not really a part of the message, but maybe it is a bit. It doesn't mean that God can't say that we're going in one direction as pastors with the music. You know, we usually work with those who are leading. I called Jeremy this week, and I meet with Ken most weeks and stuff. And I'll usually tell him, this is what I'm speaking on, or this is what so-and-so is speaking on, and this is kind of what we're thinking that God is wanting to say to the church. And so would you select music that you think might go along with that? It doesn't mean that we have this flow to things and then someone else might have a word that kind of comes from left field kind of deal. You know, we want God to be God, don't we? And I believe God's capable of giving more messages than just the one that we have prayed about and things like that. So today everything just fit together so well. I love this place. I just love this church. I'm just telling you. And this is such a good place to be. And we're growing, and we're going to grow and grow and grow. And your pastors, when we meet, those are the things that we talk about, and that's what we pray about. We pray about what can we do to get out of the way and to lead this church that God is building. The scripture says, unless he builds it, those of us who are laboring, we are wasting our time.
Yeah,
we are laboring in vain.
Right.
And those of us who stand watch, who are watchmen, if unless God is watching the house, unless he's standing guard, then those of us who are trying to stand guard, it's no. So let's get to the message. Used to have those here that used to sign for the deaf. My wife did a little bit of that when she was younger. And AMSLA, American Sign Language. And there's different schools of that kind of thing. And I'm going to teach you something that I don't want you to ever do on me ever. Sharon Clasby, you're one of those that signs for the deaf. You know, get to the point. That's this. Okay, I want everybody to do that. All right, everybody do that. Okay, now that's enough. The Old Testament, indeed, I think is without a doubt the history of a great succession of prophets, like Moses, and has been attributed with writing the passage that we're going to be looking at today. Men who heard from God and who spoke for God. Not just men. The scripture includes women, prophetesses, okay? Men like Isaiah. It says in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8 that he heard the voice of the Lord. Have you ever heard the voice of the Lord? I don't mean audible. Is he a tenor or a baritone or a basso profundo? You know, I don't mean that. I mean it's louder than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean, don't you? This guy hears from God. Louder than that. You know, our dear friend Darlene Engelbrack, how would she say it? When you hear from God, you just know that you know that you know that you know. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. He heard the voice of the Lord. You don't have to turn to it. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 6. Here's what it says. All that I commanded you, God says, you shall speak. You know, Jeremiah, you know, that dude, you know that God called him to be a prophet when he was still in his mother's womb? You read the first chapter of Jeremiah, and that's what it says. He was set apart. He was consecrated by the Lord when he was still in his mother's womb. To hear the voice of the Lord when you're walking around as an adult is one thing, but in your mother's womb. Then there's Ezekiel. Oh, I got to just turn. This is not really a part of the whole deal either. But Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 1. You know, I've turned to it. Now it came about in the 30th year on the 5th day of the 4th month while you know what that is? No. While I was by the river Kebar among the exiles that, listen to this, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. Would you say that he was hearing from God? Yeah. And in chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, actually before that in verse 1, then he said to me, this is his call, son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you. As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me. And has that ever happened to you? Man, that should have been a resounding, oh yeah. Maybe today. As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. Don't you think these guys should have been listened to? The writer of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us through his Son. Have you ever heard God speak to you? To us, the preacher of Hebrews declares in chapter 12 and verses 22 through 24 says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church, hello, of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven and to God. We were singing about this morning. Gosh darn it, you guys led worship today. Awesome. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, here's what he's called, the mediator of a new covenant, to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. And you can't read about Jesus being the mediator without reading 1 Timothy in chapter 2. And well, I actually have 15, but it really is 5. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Don't you think Jesus should have been listened to? Don't you think? Don't you think he deserves an audience? We got crickets in the house. Wonder what God's saying there. Get that cricket out of here. I don't, you know, these guys, these young bucks, they watch some goofy programs. They usually in staff meeting, pastors meeting stuff, you know, they get going with stuff. They know I don't have a clue what they're talking about. And it's like I got the crickets thing going on. And they get going talking about, oh, this one, that. And then, you know, Jenkins down here, he jumps right in because he remembers worthless trivia stuff. He just remembers stuff. And he jumps in, and then they get saying, oh, yeah, they said this, and they said this, and that. One of my favorite that I actually do remember. I don't think I've seen the whole thing, but years and years ago, there was this British comedy stuff that kind of came across the pond, and Monty Python, and you didn't listen to any of that junk. You're a prophetic voice. You don't listen. Monty Python, I think it was Holy Grail. And you guys are getting so excited about worthless stuff here. So the way the thing goes is, I believe that Jesus was teaching, it was the Beatitudes from Matthew 5, you know, all of the blessings of this, the blessings that. And there were these two, and everybody speaks with a British accent, you know, kind of, which that in itself is kind of funny if you think about it, you know. And so these two guys are in the very back row, and the one guy after Jesus is speaking, the one guy kind of looks at the other one, and he says, blessed are the cheesemakers. What'd he say? Blessed are the cheesemakers. I have created a monster.
Good thing you still love us.
You're the best.
So as we think about those who hear from God and speak for God, I find from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 22, two very critical aspects. Don't you think it's important that we listen to these things? That we respond, what'd he say? Yeah. What did he say? The first critical aspect is what I'm calling the critical response. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. See if you can find out what that response is. The Lord our God will raise up for you a prophet like me. Now this is Moses speaking. Like me. And when he says like me, well, when he says like me, he's not talking about form, he's talking about function. Function meaning those who will hear from God and then who will speak for God. He writes, the Lord our God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. You'll find that phrase twice used in this passage. Among you, from your countrymen. And here's the critical response. Say it with me. You shall listen to him. You see, when these who come and have a prophetic word and they come to one of us and they say, I think God is speaking something to me. And we say, yeah, I think this could this could be really good. I think this is right. Let's go with it. Let's see what God might do. It's not that we're hearing, they're just the conduit, if you will, through whom God is speaking. It's not this is their opinion. I'll have more to say about that in the second point. It's not their opinion. Well, I think it would be good if, you know, if children were healed. And not just 5 and 6 year olds, but 50 and 60 year olds. Well, yeah, that's good. And that's one thing when it comes from us. But oh, man, when it comes from God, we know it comes from God. The critical response, the first aspect that is so critical when we hear these words is we got to listen. We have to listen. And then from the listening comes action. We believe we've heard from God. Now, let me just say this. It's been my experience. I know when God's speaking. And I know when what I'm hearing ain't from Him. And not 100% of the time, but most of the time, I know, yeah. Especially if it's a corporate word, and suddenly I'm feeling spiritually undressed in my seat. Nobody knows that. Nobody knows that. Yesterday when we were meeting with men's ministry, I can't encourage you enough to men to be a part of that. It's the third Saturday mornings of every month. Yesterday, I think I left the card, Ron, on my... Oh, no. I didn't. There it is. Who could... Whoa. It was a MoDOT meeting. And... And up in the upper right-hand corner, we were given the instruction to write down mentors here. Write down mentors here. There was Ron Meyer. Dr. Meyer, what a great mentor. There was Dick Halscotter, who I worked with in a music business, and he taught me more about work ethic than any man I've ever been around. There was Ted Black. He was my band director in high school. My dad had already left the house by that time. Mom and dad divorced when I was a freshman in high school, and I gave myself wholly to music. And Ted kind of adopted me as he took me everywhere with him. Never forget him. There was Garth Pybus. Say that fast. He was the pastor that I surrendered to preach under. You know whose name's not there? My dad. So that was a specific word for me. And you know when God's speaking. First critical response in a prophetic word is listen. Listen. I wasn't scolding you a while ago when I did that. I just wanted you to listen. Moses' admonition in verse 15 to listen, that was the same throughout Israel's history. After the Exodus experience, you can read all about it, you know. And I'll just hit a couple of these. I don't think we have PowerPoint for these. That's okay. Verse 30 of chapter 4 says this. When you are in distress and all these things have come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and listen to His voice. And then when you jump down a few verses to 35 and following, it says, to you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, He is God. Boy, that's what we sang about today. There is no other besides Him. Those exact words we sang today. And so he writes, out of the heavens, he let you hear his voice. Is that just not phenomenal? That the God of the universe, who holds everything together, he started it and he holds it together. And one day when he says enough, the God of the universe, that God wants to speak to us. Thank you, Lord. I'm with you, Andy. So how critical our response to listen to him. Of course, you know that that wasn't Israel's history. They didn't listen. It was like they walked around with their hands over their ears, like a little kid. No, don't tell me. No, la, 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 la. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that this is what I need to do. That was Israel's history. Read all about it. Like as in chapter 8 and verse 20 of Deuteronomy, it says this, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish. Why? Because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. What'd he say? What'd he say? You heard me. I said it never goes well when we refuse to listen. Never. Never. Never, never, never. Never goes well. That's the first critical aspect. Here's the second one very quickly. I'm calling it the critical question. And we find it in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 21. There's so much other stuff in that 15. I've had so much fun in researching all of this stuff, and it's just been wonderful. But here's what verse 21 says. You may say in your heart, here's the question, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? Now, that's the negative. Let me give that a positive spin. So, when a word is spoken, how do we know? How do we know it's from God? How do we know? You know, sometimes this is said and sometimes that is said. You know, if you... you know, I love my mother-in-law. There's no but coming. She wearing her hearing aids? No. Okay. No. Nah. I love my mother-in-law. And we fixed up part of our house to, you know, I think she's hearing everything that we're saying. You know, my son, this is parenthetical. I'm going off reservation. You'll have to bring me back after this. My son thinks Steve Black is scamming the church. I wish the dude was here. Okay, everybody do that. Okay, go. God love her. We fixed up one side of her house to so that, you know, she could be with us and she would feel like it's her house and stuff like that. And she has her television room-like thing. You know, Sally already knows where I'm going with this. And you know, I mean, the volume on televisions is like 1 to 100. 86. Oh, yeah. 86. She can't hear. But it's okay. You know what she listens to in the afternoon? It's really kind of funny. She is all over the theological spectrum. Doesn't matter to her because she just loves Jesus. Right. I'm just saying, she just loves Jesus. You know, you don't get to pick your mother, but you get to pick your mother-in-law. And let me tell you, I picked a good one. Okay? So she's listening to... She's got no. I start to say Monty Python. She's She, well, might be. She's got John Hagee, you know, the world's coming to an end now. And then she's got Joel Osteen over here, and he just, everything's nice and happy, you know. And then she's got Jimmy Swaggart. That dude died 10 years ago, didn't he? No, really, I'm serious. Didn't he die? He didn't? Well, anyway, she's listening to Jimmy Swaggart tickle the ivories, you know, doing all that kind of thing. And he's got, so this theological, you know, bent and that theological bent. I mean, it's all over the theological spectrum. I'm saying you got one that, you know, thinks you can get saved and you know, lose your salvation. You got another one that thinks Jesus is coming no matter where. I mean, every day there's another. He's setting dates. And then you got another one that's smiling. Everything's happy, happy, happy. And then you got, you know, then you got a happy clappy church, you know, that's where he's just tickling the ivories and you get the feeling like you're in a bar somewhere, you know, and hey, yeah, you know, that kind of deal. And then you got this one that says, I want $56 million for a new jet. Yeah. Yeah, now listen to me. I believe every one of those people love God. I'm just telling you that. You know? I believe they all love God. They have a little different bent kind of a thing. But anything, that's the question. How do you know amongst all of the stuff that's out there, how do you know what is an honest to goodness word from the Lord? The reason why this question is so critical is because according to the Deuteronomist here in chapter 18, beginning in verse 20, actually the word appears twice, once in 20 and once in 22. It's the word presumptuously. You see that in yours? I don't know what your translations say. But New American Standard says, verse 20, but the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, in the name of the Lord, in my name, okay, in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. What did he say? What did he say? You know, some time ago, I penned these words. Best be certain a word is from God. And that's the charge to all of us, isn't it, Michael? Andy? Ken? Best be certain. Because just as it doesn't go well for those that don't listen, it doesn't go well. Never. For those who speak, and they may do it in the name of the Lord, but it's presumptuous. You know what the word presumptuous means? It's a wonderful little word. In Hebrew, it's altan. And it comes from a root, tzud, okay? From a root that means to boil over or to spew. Now let's read that. But the prophet who spews, we have to be so careful that what we say is what we've heard from God and we speak for God. That we're not just, I'm speaking to my own soul now, that we're not just spewing. Is this what God is really saying? Is this what he is saying? And then I tell you what, this is not easy. And to lead from this, from here, or as Jessica was leading from here, Jeremy, this is not easy. We have to take seriously this business of hearing from God and speaking for God and not do it presumptuously.
That's right.
And so we have the question, how do we know if it's a word from God? How do we know? It may not be a physical death for those of us who speak. And you understand that now, after the great succession of prophets, we have one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who, when you came to the place where you said yes to him, he breathed into you his life. He said, when I leave, I'm not going to leave you alone. You read it. You've read the New Testament. You know what it says. He says, when I leave you, I'm not going to leave you alone, because the disciples then, they got the shakes. He said, no, listen to me. And I can imagine the disciples were saying, what'd he say? Probably in a British accent too. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send one just like myself. Greek is very, very explicit there. I'm going to send, and I'm not just sending another. Some translations, many translations will say, I'm going to send another. This is actually another of the same kind. One just like myself, who will not just be with you, but he will be in you. When you came to a place where you said yes to Jesus, do you realize that's what happened? He gave you ears to hear. He gave you a mind to know. He gave you a heart to feel. He did something in you so that when God speaks, you'll listen and you'll know exactly that it came from him. Oh man, I get excited about this when I think about this, that we can actually hear from God. And every one of us can do that. It's not just those of us who are here standing behind this sacred desk or the keyboard. It's not just us, you see. God speaks. He wants to speak to all of us. He wants to speak to everyone in those chairs. He wants to speak to everyone here. He wants to speak to everyone here. He wants to speak to everyone over there. He wants to speak to our kids. You believe that? I do. He spoke to Jeremiah when he was still in his mother's womb. Are you kidding me? So those of us who speak and we feel like we have a word from God to a corporate meeting or to one another, to an individual, you know, you have a friend that comes to you and says, well, I'm really struggling with this. And all of a sudden you say, well, you know what? I think God wants to say something to you here. Now, we're all given the admonition in Scripture to speak the truth in love. Yeah, speak the truth in love. It's not about beating up on people. No, that's not from God. We speak a word only that is wholesome and edifying, that's going to build them up, get them further along towards him. That's what we're to be doing, to pointing people to Jesus. And so when we speak a word presumptuously, said that prophet shall die, maybe not physical death, but, you know, just the same as you might be talking, but nobody's listening. So that's really the question for us as we close. How will we know if a word spoken is from God? My simple answer to you is this. Is it verified and confirmed in the life of Jesus? Is it? He's the one mediator between men and God. The man. The man. What'd he say? The man, Christ Jesus. Don't you think we ought to listen to him?
Amen. Yes.
I read a portion of Hebrews 1 a while ago. Where is Hebrews? Chapter 1, verse 3. Here's how he's described by the preacher of Hebrews. He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. Greek word is charakter. What's that sound like? Character. He's the character. It's a transliterated word here. the representation, exact representation. He's the character of God. You want to know who God is? Look at Jesus. And when people see us at work, at play, wherever we are, Dana's barbecue. When they see us and they hear from us, what they hear from us ought to point them to Jesus. May it be so. And then the third thing he's described as, he upholds all things by the word of his power. And when he had said everything and done everything to get us connected with the Father, the Bible says he sat down. He sat down. So the next time a prophet speaks, that is one who has heard from God and one who speaks for God, let our first response be, I'm listening. I'm listening. And let our question be, let's see, is this a word from God for me right now? Is this a word from you, God? And let our answers to both be yes and yes. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for your precious word. How I love your word. It's living, it's active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to cut away all that doesn't look like Jesus in my life and able to bless everything that does. I pray you've been blessed with the preaching today. The words of my mouth and meditations of my heart have been found to be acceptable unto thee, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Now, to prepare you for, keep this music playing. To prepare you for Michael's message next, and just leave, that's good. To prepare you for Michael's message, he's going to close out the series on Deuteronomy. It's been a wonderful series. And I love you, man. And I commend you to this church. As I love all these guys. He will be speaking from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verses 11 through 20. I want you to open your Bibles. If you have them open, if you don't, shame on you. And I do mean that. What'd he say? You heard me. I mean that. Here or here, wherever you got the word of God. That's going to be his message this next Sunday. Wrap up. The big wrap up. It'll be a good one. When we are challenged to choose life, he puts before you. That's where that passage comes from. God says, I put before you life and death. Choose life if you want to live. If you want it to go well with you. You want it to go well with you? Choose life. That's what the prophet says. Are you listening? How do we know it comes from him? It's right here in the book, okay? So I want us to read right now those few verses, verses 11 through 20. I think that's your passage next week, isn't it? Have I messed? Yeah, you do. Don't do that. That's not it. Come on, Michael. I want you to just take a moment right now. I want you to read those. And here's what I want you to say as we close. I'm listening. As you read, I'm listening. What are you saying to me that will affect my life this week? That's a prophetic word. To hear from God and you speak for God this week. So as Ken just plays this little thing quietly, read that. Verses 11 through 20 of Deuteronomy 30. Everybody finish that, or are you still reading it? Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 through 20. It's just a few verses, 9, 10 verses. Did you read it? Hope you did. I did this morning, my quiet time this morning early. I just want to read you from my journal. By the way, did God speak anything in particular to anybody here? Did I hear from God here? Anything that... We got to go get our children here, but anything that warrants being said? Did you hear from God? Were you listening? Did you ask God, God's... Say something, speak something into my life that will affect me this week. And it may have been really private and personal. It's okay. Then I, you know, don't share that stuff. Anybody at all? God say anything to anybody? It's okay. Ruminate on that. Chew on that. Let me tell you what he said to me, and then we'll go get our children. It's so important to know what he's saying. How else can we live our lives? Verses 19 and 20 of Deuteronomy 30 says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. Then I wrote, this is what I shall meditate on this week. It is your word for me. And with the help and encouragement of your Holy Spirit, I will do it. I will choose life. So God, help us to choose life this week. And it begins by listening to your word. And asking God, what is it that you're saying to me that I might do it? We don't want to be guilty, Lord, of those in past Israel's history and even still today. They walk about with their hands over their ears, unable to hear the word verified by the one mediator, the man Christ Jesus, the one mediator between God and man, because they do not believe that you have come yet. Well, God, you have, and you've changed our lives. And it's by your name that we're called and in whose steps we're walking. So help us this week to choose life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, I want us to go get our kids. We are not going to have a family meeting, but this guy is going to resign in about 10 minutes. And I want you all back in here to hear his story. Okay? Okay? This is a good story, but it's a tearful story. And I'm dying on the inside. So, go get your kids and get them back here, and we'll get out of here, okay? So you can have other food to chew on. Maybe barbecue with Don Wright. Okay, is everybody back in here? Let's come down, okay? And we won't stay here a long time, okay? And we've already talked about this. I just kind of by way of introduction of kind of what we're doing here. Pardon me. Well, Benny, I thought you weren't going to hang around, but you're going to stick around, aren't you? Good for you, buddy. And where'd the Peyton Meister go? He's not sticking around.
We had to let him go.
You had to let him go. Anyway, Andy has been with us for about 11 years, I guess, something like that. I think, I want to say the first time the Oath family came to us, it was actually just Andy and Kim, I think. And she was great with child. On a Wednesday night, I think, meeting that we had. And on Thursday, I want to say on Thursday, she gave birth. It was something about like that, really. I mean, it was like, I'm not kidding. It was like, hey, I'm glad to have you. Oh, okay, got to go. I understand. Anyway. Has served in a variety of capacities, predominantly in the area of youth and youth ministry and things like that. And, a few months ago, ended up with a brain tumor. Has it been a year ago? Time flies when you're having fun, right? And that was really cataclysmic for him and for his family. When you're faced with the possibility of a very difficult future, even though, you know, the surgeons, they all say, oh, yeah, this is no big deal, just a little 16-hour surgery or whatever it was. It's no big deal. I'm thinking, yeah, well, it's not your head that, you know, is getting opened up. It's mine, and so let's, you know. And then you do a lot of soul searching, right? I mean, you do a lot of questioning of saying, okay, well. And so that, along with the other things, have kind of played into this business. We've been talking as pastors for some time now. Ours is to love him, okay? He's not fallen from grace. It's not junk. And it's none of that stuff. ours is to love him, and ours is to love you through this, okay? God is always raising up new ones, and we've had others that have been raised up in this house, and they've moved on. None quite like this guy, though, and he's really loved, you know. And I'm going to stop this, so go ahead and tell everybody. They're going to want to know, well, what the heck are you doing? So just take some time and share, you know, what's on your heart, be sure you conclude with how much you love us and love the church. That is a word from God, by the way, so and I know that he does. So go ahead, my friend.
I think I'd be foolish not to maybe start with that, and how much I love all of you guys, and how much you have meant to me and my family over the last 11 years, and some of you more. I've known some of you much longer than that. You know, I actually, Doug was a pastor in one of the first churches that we came to when my family came to Columbia way back in, early 90s. Doug was over at Calvary, and I just thought he was the guy that looked like Jesus, and he used to look like Jesus, and when we came to Center Point, and I was like, I recognize that guy. I know who that guy is. And he started off praying the same exact way that he blew me away by starting off praying when we were at Calvary, which he just said, "Good morning, Lord," and just started talking to God like he was real. Now, I hadn't heard a lot of that from my very traditional Southern Baptist background, and it blew me away. And he continues to blow me away every single time that we talk about Jesus, every single time that we talk about faith and this church and leadership. He has been such an incredible mentor to me. And you want to talk about, you know, I wasn't at the men's Bible study, but my list has Doug Phillips on it. And I have to tell you all that I will never, ever, ever be able to forget or let go of the care that you gave to my family. When I was before surgery, after surgery, during surgery, we had to ask people not to come to the waiting room because I just knew that it was going to be, they'd probably have to call an extra staff. I mean, everybody was going to be there, and but I will never forget any of that. And because you guys do exactly what a church is supposed to do. That's who you are. This is what it's supposed to be, and you guys do it really well. You want to talk about theological differences? Our church runs the gambit, you guys. If you think everybody agrees with you here, you're wrong. And the pastors can say that too. Okay. But we love Jesus, and we try to look as much like him as we possibly can, and that's what you guys do best. And you're so relational in that aspect, and I will never forget that. I'll never forget what you've taught me. And so I say that to say that why are you leaving, Andy? Well, it's not you, it's me. And I hate to say it that way, but I don't really know what other way to say it. We have been living in Fayette now for over 6 years, I think. We have really been embedded in that community and really been close to folks in that family there. And people are being put in our lives every single day who God he's giving them to us to minister to care for, to love on. And we feel like it's time for us to really press into that community. And wherever you are, you should be all there. And that's where God has planted us now. And it's weird. I grew up in Columbia. Kim grew up in Kansas City. So we're adjusting to what a really small town is like. And it's taken this long to maybe get to understand what that means. But we love that community, and they love us, and I don't know why, but they do. And okay, they love Kim and they tolerate me. It's time for us to press in there. And I feel so strongly that this is where God has been leading us for the last 11 years. I think he's been equipping us and preparing us to help in this community. And we've been waiting on him. I've been waiting on him. And that's frustrating because I don't wait very well. I just don't. And so it's time. And I believe he's rewarded that. But it's been very difficult for me to do what I need to do here and live there. Even if, God forbid, something happens and I get a phone call, one of those 3 a.m. calls that pastors get, it's still going to be a while before I can get there. And we have a team. We have a plurality of leadership here that, you know, I fully trust can handle those things. But that's not fair to you. And I don't know if that's the responsible way for me to do it. And I don't want to be an absentee pastor. But the thing is the hours I work and what I need to be doing here and what's required of me at home, I end up being an absentee everything. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I can't do that with my family, and I can't do that in my marriage. And God really worked those things into me while I was kicked up like this for 12 weeks. And it's been a tough road trying to figure out exactly what it is he's trying to tell me. But, you know, I have to be obedient. And when I believe that this is what he's doing, and through scripture, through my time with him, and through other very wise people whom I trust, who I believe have my best interest in mind, I feel like this is the best thing for me to do. And you all have probably noticed that I have kind of been backing out of some things and been absent at many things. And I think Julia asked Doug, what does Andy do here? I've known Julia since I was his age, I think. And so that's a very fair question for her to ask. And she has great wisdom for me. And I cherish that relationship. But I want to make sure that you understand some things. I'm not leaving because I'm mad. I'm not leaving because I'm upset. I'm not leaving because any one thing has happened. I didn't steal a five out of the offering plate. I didn't. Benny might have. I didn't. No. I didn't. You know, there's. I'm not. I haven't lost my faith. I'm not having a dark night of the soul kind of thing. It's a matter of, this is what I feel like God is leading me to do. Another big part of this is, and I'm really having faith in God here and trust in you guys, but there's going to be some things for me, some changes for me in my career. I am going to get to press in even further in the community and work at Fayette Schools, and I am even going to get to coach, and he's just opening all these opportunities up for me to press into the lives of young people, which has been, you know, my joy since he called me. And so I want you to know that this is, I'm not going to be a stranger. I'm sure I'll probably get phone calls every once in a while saying, hey, can you drum for us? And where did that come from? I would love to do that. So I'll be stepping down from leadership effective now. August 5th, I believe, is the first Sunday in August. Will be, I think it's going to be our last Sunday here. And then we will begin to attend at Faith Family in Fayette. I can't imagine us going anywhere else in Fayette. Right.
Great church.
Some weird people there. No, I'm just kidding. But we have a very close relationship with that church, and I'd love for it to get closer. Doug and Jamie are very close friends, and this isn't, it won't be goodbye. It's just going to probably be see you later. It's something that I have been at peace about in the affirming of it in through some prophetic words, just as we spoke about this morning. And John and Joy have given me some incredible words. They knew nothing about this. They did not know anything that was going on. The pastors and I have been talking about this for some time, trying to figure out what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, if we should do it, all those kinds of things. And just a few Sundays ago, John and Joy had incredible words for me, and John said that I need to be focusing near, not far. And John didn't know I was going through that stuff, and I was really worried about any change at all and stepping out in faith and what that meant and how I would be, it's going to be scary and it's going to be hard and all those kinds of things. And is it worth it? And Joy talked about Peter being called out onto the water. And I mean, obviously he was terrified, but he saw Jesus and he kept him in his sights. And he knew that as long as he was heading towards his Savior, he was going to be okay. And he jumped out in faith, and it was okay. And so I have to follow what I believe the Lord is asking me to do. If you have questions about any of this, if you have anything that you, any comments or anything like that you'd like to share with me, please feel free to call me. Give me a call, send me a message, something like that. I'd love to talk to you about it. But I just want to say that I don't feel like I'm leaving here at a time that I think it's really great, just the direction that the church is going. Okay, I mean, we are growing, so we're getting so big, maturity wise. It's kind of looking at your kid saying, "Oh my gosh, look how big he's getting." You know, I was just talking about that with Joy, how big Peyton and Ben are now, and it's so great to see where we are. And where we've come from and who we are now. And I'm thrilled. I'm so thrilled. And Centerpoint is in the hands of some incredible leaders, just incredible leaders. I don't know how many of you have been part of lots of other churches, but there's just not many leaders that do the things that our guys do. And I mean that in a way that they're willing to get their hands dirty. They're willing to work hard. They're willing to, and I'm not saying that other pastors don't do that. I'm just saying, there are no pastors like your pastors here. Doug is an incredible leader. Michael is an incredible leader. I've learned so much from these guys. Ken is one of the absolute best worship leaders that I've ever had the pleasure of serving under. I've learned so much from him. And when it comes to just free worship and just leading and just letting the Spirit lead, nobody does it better than Ken. Yeah. And I've been so honored to learn under you. And as a former youth pastor, I've got to... Is he in here? Is John in here? I have to... Guys, our youth group is... Knowing where we've come with our young... this night could have happened very easily 10 years ago. It almost did. And I was on the phone ready to call Doug because we'd had another night where we'd planned for hours and hours and days to get kids there and have kids there and have something cool there, and nobody showed up. I was like, why should I care if nobody else cares? You know who did show up? Ruth Brooks showed up. Ruth Brooks showed up every second time, and we said, as long as Ruth's here, we're going to keep coming. And Ruth's still here. And her incredible family is here, and they've been through some tough times, and I'm so thrilled to have been. I got to officiate Ruth's wedding. And so it's such an incredible story of where God has brought us from. And John, I say all that to say that John has done so much with this youth group that I could have never done. He is just, it's so incredible what John has done here and continues to do here. And that youth group is amazing. I mean, these kids are involved, and they come on days that aren't scheduled, and they hang out with whatever John's got. That's what youth leaders need, and I'm just so thrilled that he's the boss down there now. I love you too, man. There you are. And he wears gloves sometimes, which is weird. I don't know why he does that, but maybe I should have done that, and it would have gotten. But anyway, so I just want to tell you guys that I love you so much, and I'm sorry I've gone for so long, but... you know, we're not going to be strangers. Don't be stranger to us. You know, we're always open for visitors if you're running through Fayette. And because of the changes that I'm making, I might actually be home if you want to stop by. So,
But anyway, I love you guys. I dearly love you, and thank you for who you are and who you are becoming. And I want to thank you guys so much for caring for my family. So thank you. I love you guys.
That's a ditto. Now, throughout the month of July, of course, we'll be in VBS, but I'm going to encourage the church to express your love, gratitude to Andy, his family, in some tangible way, you know, card, little nice little card, kind of a deal, gift certificate someplace to eat or something. Cash, whatever. And then on the 5th, the first Sunday of August, we will have a brief reception immediately following that Sunday morning, the first Sunday, a little punch and cookies, I don't know what we'll do. And then if you'll bring your thank yous and a card, and we'll have those put in a basket, and then we'll give that to Andy and to his family. Okay? Everybody got that figured out? God bless you. Now go forth and eat or something. All right? Happy Father's Day.